message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Today was supposed to be the start of a new series, and I just could not get to a place of peace and comfortable in my spirit with it, and finally just let it go after a bunch of wrestling and struggle. And grab hold of something else and felt totally at ease. So the intention is to start the series next week. That is the intention. For those of you that were looking forward to it starting today, my apologies, but we will get there. Church, just a little short mini sermon. When it comes to direction and guidance from the Lord, you know, He doesn't speak to me out loud and, you know, go here, stop, go, take a left. He doesn't do that. But one big key in following the leading of the Lord is just the peace of God. This is the saying that I've taught over the years. The peace of God is the umpire. Mm-hmm. What does the umpire do? He calls safe and out, right? Well, that's the peace of God. And so if the peace of God troubles you, and there is no peace, there's a lack of peace, you may not be able to explain it, you may not understand it, you may not know why, but just don't ignore that. Acknowledge the peace of God and just trust that. So that's what I have done. And so we'll kick off next week with a new series. I want to kind of wrap up. We just did three Sundays on the Better series, the first series of the year. This is January the 28th. This is the final Sunday of the first month of 2024. You'll back up about 4 weeks. A lot of you have some goals and dreams, resolutions, making plans, and started your diet and all that. Maybe some of you are still doing good. But if you look back over the last 4 weeks, how are you doing with change and advancement? Now that we're a month into this year, is it the same old patterns that you've always had? Is anything different? Or is it just going to be another year of same old, same old? You know, you have a say in this. And so that's what we preached the series, Better Series, talking about three key areas of our lives to give attention to if we're going to advance, if we're going to bring forth the best version of ourselves. We talked about better priorities. You've got to give attention to that. Amen. Yeah. Better relationships. You've got to pay attention to those around you. Yeah. And then better choices, better habits, things like that. And so today, it's going to be kind of a follow-up to that. I kind of dug back into the archives and adjusted it and tweaked on it. And so let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, three verses, verse 15, 16, and 17. It's on the screen for you, and it says, "Be very careful then how you live." Catch that. Be careful how you live. "Not as unwise, but as wise." Let me stop there as well. A lot of times, the only question we concern ourselves is it right or wrong? Is this a sin? Think a little further than that. Some things that aren't sin aren't wise. Think of what's wise and what's unwise. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then it goes on in the next verse, and it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk or be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And we're going to get to that in our next series. But it ties in the leading of God's Spirit, knowing the Lord's will, having wisdom, capitalizing on the opportunities. There's a lot said in these three or four verses. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning, your Spirit, and may you just continue to stir in our hearts and speak to us as we hear the preaching of your word. God, anoint me to share, to preach, to teach, to communicate well what you've put in my heart. Let us receive today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to title the message, Intentional Living. Intentional Living. That phrase in there, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity. Another version says it this way, make the best use of your time. You know, I wasn't very good at that growing up. my school days, I think elementary, maybe not a lot of elementary kids are good at it, right? They have to be coached from mom and dad. But as I got into junior high and even high school and a lot of my college years, I just wasn't as intentional as I needed somebody to teach me. I didn't grow up in this, and I just kind of just, whatever happens, happens, right? So make the best use of your time. You can attribute most of your success and failure in life to how you spend your time. So you can't just hope and dream. And you can't just think about it and wish for it. You got to do something. You have to be intentional. If you're not intentional, you're just going to react. There's intentional living, there's reactive living, and I've done a lot of reactive living. And I've got some regrets because of it. Intentional living is about making certain things happen. With reactive living, whatever happens, happens. And you just respond to it. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that everything's just going to work out. It'll just work out. You have to take the necessary steps to help it work out. If you have a part to play, you got to play your part. See, we want certain results. We just don't want to pay the price to get the results we want. We want the results or the reward or the prize without the effort, without the blood, sweat, and tears. We want to be healthy and in shape. Every one of you would raise your hand if I said, how many of you want to be healthy and in shape? I'm not going to make you do it. We want to be healthy and in shape. We just don't want to eat right. Or exercise. Don't want to run laps. We want to be strong in faith. We just don't want to pray or read the Bible. Kids want what their parents have. They just don't want to do what their parents did to get it. A lot of you, you want to learn to play the piano. Well, no, you don't. You don't want to learn to play the piano. You just want to play the piano. You don't want to practice. If somebody could just pray for me, you know, after service, if you want to play the piano, come up. I'm going to pray for you. Actually, I will. But the prayer is going to be something like this. Father, put a determination in their heart to cause them to get up and quit being lazy and get on that piano bench and learn. Put something in them that will drive them to practice. Listen, you're not going to just get anointed with oil and walk out of here and be a pianist. If we could do that, we'd all play the piano. We need to pray about things. But sometimes we use prayer as a little bit of a cop-out not to do what we should be doing. You can't just lay on the couch and say, Lord, help me lose weight. Lord, would you drop a few pounds on me as I find a new Netflix series? And sometimes we use prayer as a cop-out, and then we got the Holy Spirit because, you know, we're Pentecostal people, so the Holy Spirit, he'll help me. Yes, he will help you. He's not going to do it for you, but he will help you. You have to be intentional. This morning we had worship. You can be intentional in your worship or reactive in your worship. You can enter in with praise because he is God and because he is good. Amen. Or you can wait until you feel something and then respond. You can be intentional in your giving by putting God first with a tithe. Or you can wait and see if anything is left over at the end of the month. In your spiritual life, you can be intentional by giving a time to the Word and to prayer. Or just go to church now and then. When things get bad, when there's a problem, cry out to Him then. You know, we do pray more when there's problems. And you should pray when there's problems. Nothing wrong with that. But we got to be more intentional and go to the Lord on a regular basis. When it comes to your children, you can be intentional and you can do what the Bible says and train them up. The word train, it's a big word. I don't have time to go into there, but you got to train them up. It's not automatic. You got to be intentional and train them up. Or you can be reactive, have no boundaries, have no standards, give them plenty of freedom, just hope for the best. Man, I hope they turn out better than me. You got to be intentional. You got to do something. You have a part to play. Well-developed children don't happen by accident. And don't worry, this ain't going to be a parenting thing today. We're going to move on here in just a minute, but let me just get this off my chest. I mean, let me share this. Well-developed children don't happen by accident. If you're in the restaurant and yours is running all over the place, And then you look at another table, and their kids are sitting there in a chair, you know, what you're supposed to do. You don't look at them and go, man, they're sure lucky. Man, they got good kids. The Lord really blessed them. Maybe they were intentional. I think I've shared this before, but I will feel better getting it off my chest again. Sometimes when I go to $6 over there just to do a little study, and if y'all haven't figured out what $6 is yet, that's Starbucks. Oh, look, somebody, oh, there it is. I communicate up at this level, right? I'm sorry, this level, way down. You got to stoop a little bit. So I'm sitting there, and I'm on my laptop, or I'm in a book, sometimes in a conversation, all of which requires no loud music. Thank you, Starbucks. That's a side note. And then somebody comes in, and they've got their little children with them, about 8 and 9 years old. That's fine. They're going to get one of them little pop things. I forgot what they're called. There it is, a cake pop. And so these kids are running all over the place, climbing on the bench, making all kinds of noise. And the carnal part of me wants to stand up and go, I think you're looking for the playground. It's over there. This ain't the playground. Well-developed children, you have to be intentional. Church, can I just give you a revelation? Children are trainable. Amen. You think train, that's what you do to horses and dogs. Yeah, and some horses and dogs are better behaved than children. The Bible says train them up in the way they should go. You got to be intentional in the way that you parent your children. They can sit still and they can behave. It's just going to take work on your part. You might have to pause the TV show. Man, I'm spending way too much time here. One day, these two little kids were in there and they were screaming and running. I mean, they're running all over the place. I'm trying to read a book or something. And the little boy turned his head, and then when he turned back, he ran to a table and fell on the ground. And I had to pray. God, forgive me for enjoying that. Now, y'all go ahead and judge me if you want. He wasn't dying. He wasn't even bleeding. A knot on the head can be a good thing. And if you're not going to give him a knot where he needs a knot, then life will have to give him some knots. You know, if you don't help them and teach them, life is going to teach them, and it might be harder with a knot on the head. Anyway, God forgave me. God forgave me. So in the area of spiritual development, too many parents treat their kids like their automobile. Everything's fine, but when you see the blinking light on the dashboard, I better do something. Now, you should have been doing some things a long time ago. You want to avoid that light coming on, right? See, whenever Teresa and I had ours, God's grace will help you. But, you know, well, I got to take them to church. That's a good first step. How about connecting them to serving? Connect them to leadership. Connect them to ministry. Connect them to worship. And not just... We got a lot of churchgoers. We need more than just churchgoers. Raise them up to be more than a churchgoer. Spiritual development is kind of like the principle of the harvest. You sow early, you reap later. You can't cram for a harvest like you do a test. You got to sow. You got to put forth effort. Intentional living is on-purpose living. On-purpose living. You do things deliberately. There's intention in what you do. Most things that are worthwhile don't happen by accident. Growing old is automatic. Growing up is not. You don't grow in character by accident. You don't grow in integrity by accident. Spiritual growth doesn't happen by accident. Anything left to itself will go downhill. Whether it's your teeth, your yard, your spiritual life, or your kids. If you don't give attention to it, it goes downhill. That's automatic. That's what gravity does. Anything worthwhile is on a bit of an incline. You have to put in effort. And once you stop putting in effort, things start going downhill.
That's right.
Now, as followers of Jesus, we must live intentionally. 3 points today. Some of you may remember these. Make a decision. Toss your hat. Stay with it. We've been talking about better priorities, relationships, choices, and habits, getting better so that we can go forward, being intentional in the way that we live life. Well, here's some more that you can add to that. If you can do these things, it will help you to live life with intention. But you got to make a decision, toss your hat, stay with it. Those are the three points. Let's expound on those, and I'm going to give you a sub-point for each one. Let's talk about make a decision first. This is where it starts. If you want change, it starts with making a decision. But for too many, this is where it ends. We make a decision, and by the next day, never mind. It's easy to make a decision. It's easy to eat a big lunch and then pull away from the table and go, man, I need to start a diet. Well, you just made a decision. It's easy to make a decision. How many of you started a diet every week?
Yeah.
See, it starts in the mind. That's where you decide. But it has to get further than that. So here's the point for this one, the sub point for make a decision is live by decision and not by default. To live by default is to not act. It's inaction. It's neglect. It's a failure to do what you need to do. To live by default is the natural result of doing nothing. Just let life happen. You have to decide to take the more challenging path. The default path is often the easy path. In our message, Better Relationships, we gave you this statement here. Good relationships are developed by choice and not left to chance. Anything left to chance usually doesn't turn out well. You got to be intentional. You got to make a decision. When you live by decision, now let's just see if you're doing this. When you live by decision, you have boundaries. You have convictions. You have priorities. And probably more, but at least those three things. If you don't have boundaries and convictions and priorities, you're not living by decision. You're living by default. And eventually you're going to run into problems, if you haven't already. Your marriage needs to be done with intention. If you're not married, you need to date with intention. I'm not a fan of the typical American dating scene. Some do it right. I've seen many do it right. You need to be intentional when it comes to dating. See, marriage is not about finding the right person as much as it is about being the right person. Now, I stole this next little section here from Andy Stanley. He asked this question right here. Now, if you're not an Andy Stanley fan, that's fine. I'm not a big one either, but this is a good illustration here. He asked this question here. Ask yourself, are you the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? I'm going to say it one more time because it's a little cloudy. Are you the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? See, it's a little bit hypocritical to want something in someone that you're not willing to produce in yourself. So this story here, I think this is her real name, Denise. She shared the story in a small group meeting. It was confession time, and she shared this. So this is a true story. I don't know Denise. I just know her story. But it illustrates the importance of becoming the right person in being the right person that you're called to be. Now, Denise grew up in church in a religious home, and she graduated from college and moved to Atlanta and immersed herself in the dating culture. Here's her words. You know, it's not that I quit believing in God or what I used to believe in. It's just that I kind of took all of that and put it on the back burner for this season of my life. I decided when it came to dating and my relationship with guys, I wasn't going to factor God into the mix. That's a very common scenario. I'm going to college. Put all the God stuff in the background. Maybe we'll pick it up later. So I'm not going to factor God into the mix, she said. Before long, her lifestyle bore little trace of the religious values and morals she'd been raised to embrace. Dating was just another form of entertainment for her. Guys came, guys went. There was guilt, but there was ways to deal with guilt. And she wasn't doing anything that everybody else wasn't doing, so it didn't matter that much. There weren't any significant consequences. She prayed occasionally. Life was actually pretty good. She developed some effective coping skills for those times when life wasn't so good. And then, she met the right person. It happened at a friend's apartment complex during a party. An hour or so into the evening, a guy she'd never seen before walked in, and she knew immediately this was somebody she needed to meet. Before the night was over, she had managed to get herself introduced to this guy whose name was Mitchell and his group of friends. In her words, he was the total package. Had the looks, the personality, the career, and everything. A few minutes into the conversation, it became apparent that Mitchell was also a Christian. And in a lifestyle sense, not just a cultural sense. He was serious about his faith. Even in a social setting, it was evident that the faith he had was integral to every aspect of his life. Denise found this strangely appealing. It surfaced those things in her that she had put in a box for later. And so she left the party, determined to find a way to cross paths with Mitchell again. The following weekend, she drove home to visit her family. On Saturday afternoon, she was talking with her mom while folding clothes. It wasn't long before her encounter with Mitchell came up. She went on and on about his good looks, his job, his maturity. Before she realized it, she was talking about his faith, specifically about how central it was to his life and his lifestyle. "Mom," she said, "he's like a real Christian. He's the kind of guy I've been looking for." Denise said it was at that point in the conversation that her mom put down what she was doing, looked up at Denise and said, "Well, sweetheart, the problem is a guy like that probably isn't looking for a girl like you." That's some hard words from mom right there. Yeah. Denise said she literally fell into the floor in a puddle of tears and cried her heart out. Her mom was right. There was no denying it. This was a defining moment for Denise as a single woman. In a flash, the values, the beliefs, and childhood faith she had put on the back burner flooded her soul. She was overwhelmed with who she allowed herself to become. So in that moment, she decided to become the type of person the person she was looking for was looking for. And in that moment, she decided to change everything that wasn't aligned with who she wanted to be. By her own admission, there was a lot that needed to change. Her priorities, her values, her friendships, where she would and wouldn't go, who she would and wouldn't go with. In other words, at that moment, she decided to become intentional. We're talking about decision. That's the first thing. Make a decision. Are you the person you're looking for is looking for? If not, you need to become that person. Whenever you go to the, a lot of you will know this, the Strong's Concordance, just a book to help you look up the Greek and the Hebrew and see what the words in the original text meant. When you look up the word decision, the definition that you get is a threshing sledge having sharp teeth. And here's the picture you get. How many of you have had the dog that when you put a towel out there, he'd latch onto that towel and wouldn't let go? Lucy, one of our dogs, she'd grab hold of that towel, maybe it was Theo, I get them mixed up, and Addison could swing the dog, not in the air, but on the floor. We could drag that dog. We could really just sweep the floor with the dog. Because if we had that towel, and he would not let go of that towel. So what does that have to do with the decision? Well, that's the kind of decision you need to make. You need to put some teeth into your decision. See, it's easy to make a decision, but you got to make a real decision. You got to put some teeth into your decision. You got to hang on to your decision the way a dog hangs on to an old rag. You got to put some teeth in your decision concerning your marriage, how you raise your children, your relationship with the Lord. See, the song is, "I have decided to follow Jesus." You need teeth in that decision. We're not following Jesus by default. You got to make a decision, but it needs to be a real decision. The second thing, you got to toss your hat. After you've made a decision, toss your hat. I'll explain that. True story here, President Kennedy learned something about commitment from Frank O'Connor, an Irish writer. The Irishman told of his childhood days when he and his friends would wander through the countryside of their homeland. When they would come to an orchard with a wall too high to climb over, this part of the country had walls everywhere, and they'd come to this wall that was just too high to get over. They don't know how they're going to do it. They'd take their hat and throw it over the wall. Now they got to figure it out. They had no choice but to get over the wall. See, they did something to commit themselves to the decision. See, the first thing is to make a decision. But then now you got to do something that commits you to your decision. It's like years ago when I decided I'm going to come to the church every morning at 6 a.m. and pray. Well, I know that come 6 a.m., I mean, it's easy to make that decision when you're wide awake. But at 6 a.m., I might not be able to make that happen. So what did I do? I announced it. Anybody want to join me at 6 a.m.? We'll have 6 a.m. prayer. Why did I announce it? I had to do something to commit myself to the decision. So you make the decision, but then you got to toss your hat. You got to do something that commits you to the decision you made. So here's the alternate point for this one. The secret of getting ahead is getting started. You got to do something towards your decision. You're going to start running? Well, do something. Go buy a pair of shoes. Well, that's just wasted money there. Well, then you haven't made a real decision yet. I remember when I was going to learn to play the guitar. I already knew music theory. I knew the piano, and I knew I could teach myself how to play guitar. All I got to do is go through the book, and I bought the book. Well, 4 weeks later, I ain't opened the book. So what I did, I signed up at Bradsport College for a guitar class. I paid him money to teach me what I could have taught myself. But I did it because I needed to commit to the decision, and I needed to invest. You got to do something that commits you to your decision. I've told you this story before. If you've been to our house, we used to have it's an older house, 1985, so room, not very open. Well, we've since taken out a wall or two, and now the house is very open. And Teresa wanted that wall out for a long time. She said, "When do you take this wall out?" And I'm like, "No, it's a support wall. We ain't taking that wall out." Now, there's ways to take out a support wall, but I don't want to take the wall out. There's money, there's an investment. It just doesn't sound like a good project I want to do. We need to take that wall out. She's very persistent. And finally, she convinced me, because she's telling me they'll do this, they'll do that, we can do this, we can move this over here, and the piano can go here, and it went on. I thought, man, we need to take that wall out. So we made a decision. I did. I'm going to take the wall out. She went shopping or somewhere. I went to the garage and got a hammer. And I came in and I just put holes all in that wall. It took me about 10 minutes. And I threw the hammer down. I sat down and watched TV. That's all I got to do. I am now committed to the decision. I have tossed my hat. Now, if you'll come to our house today, you'll see we've got this wall with a lot of holes in it. No. We finished. You got to do something that supports the decision you made. Do something. Well, that's not a big thing. Do not despise small beginnings. You need a beginning. The key to getting ahead is getting started. Instead of dreading the project, get started and don't let the deadline be your motivator. Oh, man, I lived by that when it was time for research paper in high school. Hey, you got 6 weeks to do this research paper. 5 weeks and 5 days later, I start my research paper. That's not a good way to do it. Especially not a good way to do life. There is something mental about getting started. And if you can get started, it does something here. I remember hearing this story many years ago at a conference we'd gone to. And this children's church pastor of a well-known church and also had a district position. And so he's, you know, very well known. And he's speaking. And he's talking about how he does his children's church class. And he does this and does this. And he gives us all these pointers. And then when he's done, he said, and then the kids all leave and I see them off. And then I go and I put things up and I get my book because the curriculum is given to you. You don't have to create it every week. So he's got his book on the little lectern there. And he says, "Before I close my book, I turn the page to see what next week's lesson is. And then I close my book. But now I'm already started because I know the topic and it's in my head and already I'm gearing that way. Just turn the page. Take a step. Small beginnings. Put a hole in the wall. Toss your hat." You got to toss your hat. Make a decision and then toss your hat. Do something that commits you to your decision. The third thing, the final point, you got to stay with it. It's easy to make a decision. And it's not too hard to take a first step. It wasn't hard putting them holes in that wall. Kind of enjoyable. But now you got to stay with it. Putting holes in the wall is easy, but you got to follow through and complete the task. You've made the decision. You've done something to support the decision. Now you got to stay with it. This is the hard part. But this is the part that makes the difference. Here's your alternate point for this one. The secret of your success is determined by your daily agenda. I stole that from John Maxwell. He's a good one to steal from. The secret of your success is determined by your daily agenda. You're not going to run 100 laps in one day and lose all your weight. You got to run a little bit every day for a long time. You got to come up with a daily agenda. See, it's a cinch by the inch and a trial by the mile. My research paper was always a trial because I waited till the last minute. Don't underestimate the importance of your daily routine. I shared this in one of the messages on the Better series. Chuck Swindoll has written many books, I don't know how many, but more than a lot of you have read. And it's because he writes for 1 hour every day. He just does a little bit every day. Don't underestimate the importance of your daily routine. What you do on a regular basis makes the difference in your life. I'm going to land the plane here. I'm going to give you another statement from John Maxwell, kind of a concluding statement here. It says, intentional living is the key to transformation, and it begins with you. We've been talking about bettering ourselves and what we can do, and this kind of just encapsulates everything. You have to be intentional about making your priorities better, intentional about bettering your relationships, intentional with bettering your choices, intentional in the way that you do life. Intentional living is the key. So I want to change. Well, the key to change is intentional living, and it begins with you. Came across this story actually this morning, just going over some things and stumbled on this, and I thought this is great. True story. Lady, don't know her name, but she worked a 9-to-5 job. She had a great desire to help people in need. She just had a very tender heart, you know, for people that are hurting and people that have great needs and just wanted to help them. But her 9-to-5 job didn't allow for much extra money, but she was compelled to do something. And so here's what she did. She contacted 6 charities that she knew about, and she asked them this question. If I send you $1,000, what would you do with it? And they would tell her. They would open up and share where they were strong in the areas that they worked in. And so she made up a plan. This is intentionality. She came up with a plan. She's intentional. She came up with a campaign, just kind of a little project of her own, to raise $6,000, $1,000 for each of the 6 charities. And she just put it on an email, and she put it in the subject line, the Global Good Fund. She called it that, the Global Good Fund. And she sent it out to her email list, everybody on her email. And she got the $6,000 plus a little bit. So she was able to give them all a little more than the $1,000. Now listen, she could have just said, man, I wish I made more money. I could give to Convoy of Hope. I could give to missions if I just made more money. Well, she didn't do that. See, that's reactive living. If this happens, then I can do this. Intentional living, she came up with a plan. And this plan allowed her to give $6,000 plus to 6 different charities. But the story doesn't end. It was a few days later, she got a call from a man who wanted to donate to the cause. She'd already given the money out, but, you know, it's not too late. They had met at a networking function, and he wanted to meet with her. And so they sat down, and he said, I want to give to your cause. I want to give $1,000,000 to your cause. And she picked herself up off the floor. Well, she wondered, too, maybe he's a scamming or whatever, but it was legit. And so he was going to make a check out. He said he's going to make it out to the Global Good Fund. And so he did. Well, she didn't even have a foundation. So she goes to her boss and tells him the story, and he says, well, we need to create a foundation. And I'm going to go ahead and give you another $1,000,000 to get it going. So now she's got $2,000,000. And you can Google it right now. The Global Good Fund is a real organization that helps people in need. And it all started with a woman, I don't know her name, working a 9-to-5 job who was intentional about giving some missions money. If you're just going to wait for good things to happen to you, you might just be waiting for the rest of your life. I just had this thought. I'm going to get home and open my email, and all of y'all are going to have sent me something. Church, I want to encourage you to be intentional. As individuals, as families, but church leaders, we're going to meet here in just a little bit. Let's be intentional here as well. Let's not just think about it, hope for it, wish for it, but let's be intentional. Now, we're almost done with January. And some of you, maybe you had some big hopes and dreams back in the beginning of the month, and now here you are, and you think, it didn't work out so well. Can you just get intentional all over again? What's wrong with today? What's wrong with a fresh decision right now? I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to give some thought to this right here. Is there just one thing, something practical, one thing that you could change in your life today? Maybe it's dropping something, a habit. Maybe it's shutting this off. I don't want to sit here and expound on possibilities. Let the Lord speak to your heart. But is there just one thing that you could change in your life that would move towards intentionality and help you go forward? I've shared this story probably two or three times, but it's a great story. Mike Lance, he moved off, and so he's elsewhere now, but a very avid sports person, plays the sports, coaches the sports, and listens to sports radio all the time and knows way too much about every team and every player. He's caught up with it. And one day, he's on the way to work, and he put it on KSBJ. He felt like the Lord told him, why don't you listen to KSBJ? Because he would always listen to sports radio. And he had his boys in the car, dropped them off at school and things like that. And he said it wasn't too long he noticed he was a much calmer person in the mornings with his boys. It changed his attitude. It changed his spirit. I mean, it just caused him to be less agitated and things like that. You know, for some of you, maybe you're listening just a little bit too much to the news. I'm not saying put your head in the sand. But is there something that you can do and change in your life that would help you go forward? Maybe start having dinner at the table again. Maybe set your alarm just a little bit earlier so you can start with the Lord before you get caught up in the hectic day that's before you. Maybe let your devices sleep just a little bit longer while you do your Bible time. Maybe limit yourself to how much time you put on that device. Set some boundaries. Establish some priorities. Honor the convictions of your heart. So is there one thing that you could change that would help you live more intentionally? Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to every one of our hearts about that one thing. And then maybe there's a second thing and a third thing. Lord, would you help us make decisions and then do something to commit to that decision and then give us tenacity to hang on to it, to stay with it, and to complete the task. Father, may we be people of intentionality. While your head's bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you could raise your hand and say, you know what, right now I already know an area of my life. I don't know what the one thing is, or maybe you do know what the one thing is, but I know that I need to do something about this little corner of my life right here. I've got a dark spot, an unhealthy spot. This is good, but over here I need a change right here, and the Lord has already spoken to you about that. Can I see your hand? Many hands. So here's the thing, church. You just acknowledged that the Lord has spoken to you about that. Think about that. What are you going to do now? See, the ball's in your court now. You know what we can do? We can make a decision together right now. I'll make that decision with you, but let's make a real decision. Put some teeth in your decision. And then after you leave here, the decision is made, but when you leave here, you've got to toss the hat, and then you've got to stay with it. We're going to do the easy part together, and then we're going to pray that God would empower us to do those next two steps. Father God, in Jesus' name, for every hand raised, Lord, it signifies something in their life that needs to change. And I don't know what that something is. There's many somethings represented in this house. But Father, you have made it clear to them. You have spoken to them about that thing. So right now, together, we make a decision on that thing. And the decision is, we're going to follow through with what you have spoken to our heart. And then, God, I pray that you would give them insight, give them a step on how to toss the hat, what they can do in order to commit to the decision that we're making. But right now, we're deciding that that area is going to change. We're deciding to do something about that. We're deciding to do our part concerning that issue. And then, Father, we're going to trust you to help us with the next steps, to help us, not to do it for us, but to help us, to empower us to take that next step. If you receive that in Jesus' name, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. I receive that in Jesus' name. I receive it in Jesus' name today. Thank you, Lord God. Won't you give Jesus a good hand clap right now? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.